Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. This is the guest segment, the B's. Remember, the A's are always the latest medical news of the week. The B's, great guests for you on topics you request. This one is on secondhand drinking, and I'll bet this will be a great show. It'll open your eyes the way it did mine. Dr. Catherine, she goes by Kate, Carriker Jaffe, is a senior scientist at the Public Health Institute's Alcohol Research Group, and she's going to talk to us today about secondhand drug use and alcohol use and how common it is in the United States. Dr. Jaffe, is there a website I should throw people to?
Probably the easiest website would be to find us on arg.org.
ARG.
The Alcohol Research Group's website.
.org. ARG.org. That's a great website, acronym at least. So tell us how you got involved in thinking about secondhand drinking and what it really means, secondhand drinking or secondhand drug use.
Well, I've been studying problems related to alcohol and drug use for 15 years now, and I realized that part of the equation that's been missing from a lot of the discussion is what happens to people around heavy drinkers in particular, right? So the friends, the family, the coworkers, the neighbors, people walking by on the street, when someone's drinking is excessive and reaches out and sort of touches the lives of the people around the drinker.
And when you say that, that usually isn't a positive reach out, I assume, meaning it's accidents, it's financial problems, it's abuse, it's not paying, if you will, being able to keep a job, et cetera. Is that the type of thing you're talking about?
Yes, we really focused on negative consequences around other people's drinking. I suppose there might be perhaps some positive situations you could imagine, maybe some social facilitation or something. But I think when we think about secondhand effects of alcohol, we're really thinking about these negative consequences that people experience due to someone else's heavy drinking.
And how common is secondhand effects? First of all, how common is alcohol and drug abuse? We know there's a problem with people dying from drug abuse, but how common is it in general? If you said, what percent of the U.S. population has a problem with alcohol, what percent has it with other drugs?
Well, the proportions of people who have problems with alcohol and other drugs is only part of the equation. We know that maybe around 5% of the population has serious problems with an alcohol use disorder. There are more people who drink heavily, however. So people who drink, who exceed recommended guidelines, such as based on a weekly number of drinks, like for men, that's 14 drinks a week, and for women, it's 7 drinks a week. Or if you space it out, maybe it wouldn't be so bad, because there's also the importance of daily limits on drinking. So recommended guidelines are no more than 3 drinks on any given day for women or 4 drinks for men. So those behaviors are much more common than alcohol use disorders.
And if you look at that, it affects over, as I understand it, it affects over 50 million people in the U.S., is that right? In other words, that's 1/6
yes.
of our population.
So we did a national survey asking about a lot of these different kinds of harms, and we found that 1 in 5 U.S. adults, so 53 million people, reported at least one harm due to someone else's drinking. And that was really just a snapshot of a one-year period. So when we asked people about their experiences with these secondhand effects of alcohol over their whole lifetime, the proportions that report harms are even higher.
And give me a, and I apologize for my naivete, but probably most of the audience And we should thank the audience. We have 50,000 people or so who download us weekly, and I appreciate it, so thank you for downloading us. But I would guess most of us are relatively naive on all of the what you might call the range of secondhand drinking and secondhand drug use effects. So we would know that it may be harder to keep a job with alcohol abuse and maybe with drug abuse. What are the other common problems?
So some of those harms are on the more serious end, right? If you have family or financial problems due to someone else's drinking. We also asked about a range of harms, including being harassed or threatened by someone who's been drinking, having your property damaged, experiencing physical harm or physical aggression from someone who'd been drinking, as well as having any kind of driving-related harms, either riding with a drunk driver or being in an accident caused by someone else's drinking. And some of these, on the first glance, might not sound very serious, like being harassed or threatened, but we found actually that the most common people who are implicated in those sorts of events are strangers as well as spouses and partners. So people are talking about events that might be happening in their household. So these could be happening over and over and over, night after night, day after day, and having really serious negative impacts on people's lives.
And when you say it's relatively common, meaning one out of six people in the U.S. experience this, what are the most common ones? Is harassment the most common? Is physical harm the most common? Is riding in a car or a motor vehicle? I mean, they both have intensity of effect. But I imagine that if for instance, a child in a family has a threatening event from a parent, that can lead to a long-term, if you will, psychological problem. Is that, so what are the most common and tell us about those and also the most intense.
Okay, so the most common harms that people report are definitely being victims of harassment or threats. We estimated that 40 million people had that sort of experience just in the year prior to our survey. 15 million people were victims of driving-related harms, which would be the next most common. And then you get down to about 12 million or 10 million people experiencing things like vandalism or damaged property or physical violence or family or financial problems due to someone else's drinking. And I should note that although both men and women are affected by alcohol secondhand effects, there are certain harms that women are more likely to experience, like family problems or financial problems due to someone else's drinking. But men are more likely to experience things like physical aggression or property damage by someone who's been drinking.
And is it
in terms
equal?
Of
is
children,
the, is the is are the perpetrators equally men and women, or are there more men who are? If you will, get addicted to alcohol and drugs, or is it equal?
Well, that's an interesting question. We did ask people about the perpetrators, but we haven't looked in detail at the gender of the perpetrators. So someone might say it's a spouse or partner, and it may or may not be appropriate to assume whether that person is a male or a female based on the individual who's reporting the harm. When we talk about family members who are causing problems, that could be anybody in a family. It could be a sibling or a parent or a grandparent or some other kind of relative.
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's medical advisory board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
Now, let's go back a little bit. We're talking with Catherine, who goes by the name Kate Carricker Jaffe, who's a senior scientist at the Public Health Institute's Alcohol Research Group. What is the Public Health Institute, and what's the Alcohol Research Group? How big a group are you, and what's your mission, so to speak?
The Public Health Institute is a nonprofit organization that's focused on health equity and social justice and improving community health through a range of different activities, including individual-focused projects, like working with people to change their lifestyles, as well as projects focusing on changing where people live and the places that people work to improve health. Within the Public Health Institute, the Alcohol Research Group is a group of scientists. We're actually celebrating our 60th anniversary this year.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And we have a wide range of people, from economists to behavioral scientists, psychologists, studying all sorts of issues, including things like alcohol secondhand effects, as well as how stress impacts health and drinking, how alcohol policies impact health and behavior outcomes, and everything in between.
And when you, who funds it?
The current study that I've been speaking about was funded by the National Institutes of Health, the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
So,
primary funder.
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, they funded most of our work most consistently over the 6-year period.
And so we're talking, as I said, with Catherine Kate Carricker Jaffe of ARG.org, the AlcoholResearchGroup.org of the Public Health Institute. And so what do you do with this data? You obviously make it public and make us all aware of the secondhand effects of drinking, or secondhand drinking, as it's called, that hurt 53 million Americans. But what else? And I am actually amazed that it's 40 million from harassment and 15 million in a car, that is car harm. But what do you do to, do you have programs, or what do you do once you've made this public?
So that's a really great question. So what do we do now, right? And that we've documented that these problems are really common. What can we do to reduce these secondhand effects? We do know, based on research in other areas, what works to reduce heavy drinking and serious harms like alcohol-involved motor vehicle crashes or alcohol-related homicides. For example, the World Health Organization has identified best buys for alcohol control policies, and these are things that are both effective and relatively inexpensive to implement. And we found that stronger state-level alcohol control policies are associated with reduced secondhand harms, including aggression-related harms as well as drunk driving-related harms, particularly among younger people under age 40. Which is really important because these harms are the most common among younger people in the United States. Another piece of the equation is figuring out how to identify and support people who are experiencing these secondhand harms in the family in particular, as these are really associated with some significant negative mental health impacts over the long term. And, you know, it's been recommended to screen adults for heavy drinking in primary care. For example, when you see your physician, they're supposed to be asking us all about our drinking, whether we drink heavily. But it's really not common yet to screen adults for social risk factors, like whether you live with a heavy drinker. And if physicians and other healthcare practitioners could start asking these questions, I think it would really help us to quickly identify people who might need help, and we could refer them to mental health or other supported services. And these could be things like Al-Anon groups or other forms of support for people who have a heavy drinker in their life.
So part of this is, in fact, a major effort to get the medical community aware of the secondhand drinking and secondhand drinking effects, and through that process to be able to refer the drinker to get help as well. Is this also, now you also study drug effects, secondhand drug effects. Are they as common as alcohol secondhand effects? Meaning, is it the same type of problem and the same type of common offense?
Well, we haven't done nearly as much work on drug-related harms, although we're hoping to be able to do a project in the near future that looks at specific substances like marijuana and opioid medications and how those harms impact people close to the users. We did one study in the state of Washington, and after they legalized recreational cannabis, and we found that the rates of alcohol-related harm and marijuana-related harm were higher in Washington than in other states in the U.S., and so we're really looking forward to the opportunity to look at that in some more detail to see sort of what the landscape looks like for different parts of the country that might be facing different kinds of substance use crises. You know, there's regions that have been so hard hit by the opioid crisis, and they might be experiencing a lot of other harms, such as trauma related to witnessing an overdose and things like that, that are much less common for alcohol or cannabis, for example, for marijuana.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us. We're talking to Dr. Catherine Kate Carricker Jaffe, a senior scientist at the Public Health Institute's Alcohol Research Group. You can find out more at ARG, that's capital A-R-G, .org. And thank you for listening. This has been podcast number 960B of You, the Owner's Manual. And thank Randall for great engineering, but especially you for listening. Tell your friends about us. And thank you, Catherine, for opening our eyes and opening my eyes to secondhand drinking and drug abuse. We'll be back next week with another great guest. In fact, our guest is Ivy Delaney, who's a professor of pharmacy practice next week. She's going to be talking to us about what happens and what you should do when your medication is withdrawn, that is, or recalled. Thanks very much again for listening. We'll be back with an A segment as well, the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. Thanks again.